You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
What a show. What a show. Just moments ago, a little bit of breaking news out of Shams Charania of The Athletic. We will discuss that in regards to Kyrie Irving right now. At 800-919-3776, Yankees, plenty of talk there surrounding Aaron Boone, what the future is and what the real problems are. And later in the show, we are here until 9 o'clock. At 8, Sebastian Joseph Day of the Rams, former Rutgers defensive lineman, now plays right alongside Aaron Donald. They're facing the Giants this week. He will join us at 8 p.m. Don't forget, that you can hit us on Twitter. It's at Chris Carlin. TikTok, Instagram, That Guy Carlin as well. Let's get right to it. So obviously, you have heard the news from earlier today that the Nets are not going to have Kyrie Irving play with the team at all, practice with the team at all, until he is vaccinated. And they phrased it until he is fully compliant and eligible to play, according to New York City standards. I like the fact that the Nets made this decision. And we can hear a little bit from Sean Marks about why the Nets decided to do this.
This process is, I think, all of you guys are pretty well aware of. It's been going on for a while now, and we've been bringing all the information to a head here. And I think this is a decision that ultimately Joe Tsai and myself made. We, as always, involve a lot of people in this, but this decision came down to the two of us, and it's what's best for the organization at this point in time.
And here's Sean on Kyrie's vaccination status.
Just for the record, can you state explicitly whether Kyrie is vaccinated?
If he was vaccinated, we wouldn't be having this discussion. I think that's probably pretty clear.
So there you go. And Kyrie will not be playing for the Nets until that changes. Now, they can't get out of paying him for the road games that he is eligible to play in. But because it is a New York City mandate, they will not be paying him for the home games that he will not be playing in. So here is what Shams had just moments ago in The Athletic. Multiple sources with direct knowledge of Irving's decision have told The Athletic that Irving is not anti-vaccine and that his stance is that he is upset that people are losing their jobs due to vaccine mandates. It's a stance that Irving has explained to close teammates. To him, this is about a grander fight than the one on the court, and Irving is challenging a perceived control of society and people's livelihood, according to sources with knowledge of Irving's mindset. It is a decision that he believes he is capable to make given his current life dynamics. Kyrie wants to be a voice for the voiceless, one source says. It goes on to say, to be clear, Irving's stance is not believed to be anti-science. So this is more for social reasons that Kyrie does not want to get vaccinated because he believes it's wrong for people to lose their jobs due to vaccine mandates. Well, there are a few things at work here. Number one, Kyrie did not at all discuss why he was taking this stance. So if you want to be a voice for the voiceless, as Peter brought out a few moments ago, you actually have to use your voice in order to do that. That's problem number one. Number two, it's fine if Kyrie wants to do this. And I have to tell you, if you're an athlete and you're going to put your money where your mouth is, it's to be respected. And if Kyrie decides, I'm not playing basketball, I'm going to do something that I believe in instead, I really don't have a problem with it. And frankly, I applaud him for that. That would be exceptionally, exceptionally heroic's not the word I would use, but, principled would be one that I would use. It's easier to do it considering all of the money that he has, but still to turn down half of his salary this coming year, which would be $19 million, to go and do this, that would be great. I think that's what he would have to do, though. What we all seem to lose sight of is dealing with a principle that people want to lose, that people want to take a stand on, frankly, on both sides of it. But it is not necessarily a private decision when you are in the midst of a pandemic. If you don't want to do it, that's your choice, and I get it. But if you don't want to do it and then not live by the rules or not deal with any consequences from it, you're not going to get any sympathy from that, because every choice we make in life has consequences. So here you are. You're Kyrie Irving. You're playing for the Nets in the NBA, which is a private business. And New York City has set into law this mandate about having to be vaccinated in these public places and working in these public facilities. That's the public rule for everybody. If you're not good with that, okay. But if you're going to fight the principle of it and use your voice to the voiceless, you have to stand behind it and deal with the consequences from it. There is not going to be any sympathy for Kyrie if he is fighting to get every last dollar that he can out of the Nets organization, because this is his choice. Your choice here affects others. We don't need to get into all the science or anything about all of it, okay? The one thing that is here is very clear. Getting vaccinated and potentially a booster shot down the line radically increases your chances of avoiding COVID-19. And it radically improves your chances of not spreading it. This, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've done all kinds of research, because I'm not a research scientist. I'm choosing to believe what the research scientists are telling us. And that's what they're saying. Okay, if you don't want to do it, that's all right. But just understand, if your job says to you, that's what you have to do in order to work here, then that's what you have to do. I work for Disney. There is a mandate to get vaccinated. I'm good with that. It's a private business. And if I choose not to, that's my choice. But it doesn't mean that I get to keep my job. It doesn't mean I get to have my cake and eat it too. Everything that we do has some sort of consequence that comes with it. And if we're going to sit here and pretend that it's okay to just do whatever we want and not care that it affects other people, that's remarkably absurd. And it's not right. Personal freedom, I've heard all about it, and I get all of that. I'm not going off on a rant here about whether or not you want to get vaccinated, and that's not even what I'm interested in talking about, because I'm not a scientist, and neither are you, okay? The only sort of research that either one of us could do is on Google and the internet, and I think we can all agree that on both sides, you can get bad information. So I wouldn't know how to look at research. I wouldn't know how to analyze data. I wouldn't know what the hell I was looking at. Facebook is not going to tell me what to do. That's not where I'm going to base my decisions. I'm going to try to be a little bit more locked in on facts than that. All of that aside, If he wants to do this and walk away and fight for something that he believes in, man, you know what? I don't agree with it. I don't agree with his stance, but I applaud it. And I would admire him for having the guts to really stand up for what he believes in and walk away from an absolute ton of money. And I know he's got a lot already, but it's still a ton of money to go and do that for. But don't expect to be able to fight and have a voice for the voiceless when that voice still expects to get paid for work that he's not doing. No, doesn't work like that. So to me, if the Nets decide, if you're only going to play half a season, you're not going to play any of the season, you deal with the consequences of that. There's a very easy solution, and it solves problems for both teams. If you're the Nets, you're the Sixers right now. Simple, Kyrie for Ben Simmons. Would you do it? Would you do it if you were the Nets? Because I got news for you. If you have Ben Simmons on the team, you're winning your championship. And I can't stand Ben Simmons as a player. But he doesn't have to come here and shoot. All he has to do is do exactly everything that he does well. He can be himself and not worry about improving in any other area. Be an elite defender, which he is. Pass the basketball in great fashion, which he does. Rebound, he does that great. Does a lot of things well. Just doesn't shoot free throws or shots. He can attack the basket all he wants. He doesn't have to be an outside shooter here. Nets would absolutely win a championship if Ben Simmons was playing with Harden and with Kevin Durant. And on the flip side, if you're the Sixers, you can't have him back in town. You can't. That has turned into an absolute nightmare. And now they're trying to work it out to get him back? I have to tell you, I mean, that's not going to last. That locker room's going to be a mess. An absolute mess. Stephen A. Smith was on earlier today with the boys, Michael, Don, Peter, and was asked if KD would be all right with Brooklyn trading away Kyrie at this point.
I've been told he would sign off on it. It's not something he wants. It's not something he would push for, but he's certainly not going to stand in the way of the organization if they feel they have no choice but to move Kyrie Irving. He's not going to stand in the way of that. He wants to play basketball. That's all KD cares about. He wants to play. James Harden, primarily what he cares about is playing basketball. That is clearly his priority. They have become keenly aware that even though basketball is important to Kyrie, it would be foolish for anybody to imply that it's not. It clearly doesn't appear to be his number one priority, and it's certainly not his only priority. As a result of that, there are certain things that appear to be getting in the way. That's what the situation is right now. KD's one of those guys, he doesn't want that headache. He doesn't want that stress. But in the same breath, as I pointed out, he doesn't get to just sit in a corner and hide, nor does he get to be quiet about this. This is his franchise.
Yep. And you know that once the Nets came out with this decision, that it was obviously signed off on by KD.
Anything that they do, they talk with KD first. That is what I've always been told, and I have no reason to believe otherwise. I haven't spoken to anybody for Brooklyn in the last 48 hours or so, but I can tell you that has been their MO since the day KD arrives. KD was in Brooklyn because of Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving wanted to go to Brooklyn, and that's why KD decided to go there, but nevertheless, he is the franchise in every sense of the word, and they will do what he asked them to do. And if there's any trepidation or any reservation about being done with Kyrie or whatever, it would be because of KD.
It's pretty simple. You can do this. You know, KD has clearly had enough. You can do this. Why wouldn't you? 800-919-3776. To me, I don't even need to build the case for either side all that much because it makes entirely too much sense. Chris is in Newark next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Christopher, what's up? Chris.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I just wanted to make a comment on Kyrie. I respect him, man. I respect him a lot for what he's doing. Granted, he's extremely wealthy. It's not like he's a player just coming in the league, trying to make his bones and so on. He's been there, done that for a very, very long time. So he has the ability to say, hey, you know what? I'll give up half my salary, so be it. Other people may not be in that position, so they have no choice. But the problem is, the real problem is, and I heard, you know, I think it was Justice from a few minutes ago, talking about his son and how he's no longer a role model and so on and so forth. Now, the problem is the only side we hear about is the one side. You don't hear anything else about people getting sick because of X, Y, Z. You don't hear anything from the other side because anybody that dares speak out against it gets an X put right through them. If this were LeBron James and not Kyrie Irving, I promise you we'd be having a different conversation.
You know, I don't know, because LeBron was catching a lot of heat when he was not talking about his vaccination status publicly in the offseason. So if he had come out and LeBron was not talking about what his vaccination status was this past offseason up until about 2 weeks ago. So if that's the case, and he was catching heat because he was, you know, as the face of the game, not out there saying what needed to be, what people felt like needed to be said, well, I think people would be having a problem with LeBron. Would they be softer on him? Yeah, perhaps, because there's a perception about Kyrie and there's a perception about LeBron. And the perception about Kyrie is that he's a problem.
Right. And there's no world in which the NBA is going to allow their season to go on the entire year with no LeBron James in it, vaccine or no vaccine. They'll find a way to make it happen.
Look, I appreciate the call, and you already saw the Nets try to make it happen with Kyrie to help him out with practicing. I mean, the Nets, you can't tell me that when the rule changed last week that Kyrie could practice with the team all of a sudden, that they could get the status changed of the building in from a public one to a private one, that Joe Tsai going to the mayor or people in high places when it comes to making those laws didn't play a big role in that. I'm sure the Nets look at this right now like, seriously, what else do we have to do with Kyrie? We have done everything we can in every instance to support this guy. What else do we have to do? Let's hit Colin in the Bronx. Colin, what's up, baby? You're next.
What's going on, Carlin? Really quick with the whole Kyrie situation and the Ben Simmons situation. I personally love it because the top teams in the East are dysfunctional and the Knicks are just going to get better and better and better and better. They're going to win over 50 games and they're probably going to be the 3 seed. But on a very, very serious note, I can't stand the term research when people use it. I just want to say this out loud. Unless you're a scientist that is doing clinical tests and then also having other scientists review your tests independently, you are not doing research. You are going onto Google, looking up stuff to confirm your opinion. That's called confirmation bias. That is not research.
Accurate. Everything you just said is accurate, Colin. Thanks for the call. I don't want to get into all of that part of this argument, but it's 100% accurate what you just said. 800-919-3776. Spike, been waiting a bit down in St. Pete. Spike, what's going on? How are you?
Doing okay, my friend. First of all, no one's going to take Kyrie Irving. I was just thinking about listening to all your programs, and it was a lot easier to listen to when you play Beat the Fat Man. This, and I'm being complimentary, obviously. This stuff is getting so out of hand to me that they try to manipulate it politically to get him to practice. And it got so out of hand. Look, if he steps back and this is what he wants to do and leave all the money, because his sneaker contract's probably as much as he's earned in his career or close to it, you know, let him do it. Let him do it. I mean, is it a bad decision? No. If it's really in his heart and he really wants to help people, let him do it. But doing it this way, to me, is very circuitous throughout his
Well, we don't know which way he's doing it yet, right? If
that's
he
right.
decides that's what he's going to do, if he's going to step away altogether, then great. So I'm giving him some time here to really clarify what his stance is going to be.
But is it fair to the team?
I'm not really worried about the team, to tell you the truth. If somebody has a personal choice and they're going to walk away from the money, then that's what they're doing. I get that you could, if he's a boxer, fine,
but it's a team game.
Spike, I understand, but if you decide you don't want to be somewhere anymore and you want to go do something else, you're going to stick around because it's a team?
No.
Yeah,
you're
this
do
is
it
my
in
point about
fashion.
Him. Yeah, that's my but point about him. If he's gonna walk away from it, that's fine. What I don't want to see, Spike, is him fighting. You know, the Nets are in a position right now where legally they're probably still going to end up paying him for the road games
half.
That he's not playing, paying him half for the road games that he's not playing. But I personally would not do that. I would not pay him at all for not playing at all. That's just me. If they can't get away with that, they can't get away with that.
I know, but it's so close to the start of the season. That's my take on it. But if he chooses to do it, I'll wish him well.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. If he doesn't, I don't have a problem. Just don't expect to get the money. Don't expect to get the money. That's all. Eli in Washingtonville is next, 98.7 ESPN. Eli, what's up, baby?
Hey, Chris, what's going on? Listen, man, before I get to my Aaron Boone thing, this thing with Kyrie Irving, listen, it's just Kyrie Irving being that guy, you know, and he's constantly that guy. You know, last year was, I don't want to show up for personal reasons, and nobody knew what were the reasons for. It's a constant thing with him. It's like a guy that wants to call out of work every time and give the same, like, lame excuse, or my dog got hit. Maybe the guy just don't want to play back, you know, and he's making up excuses every year, you know. But if he wants to take that route and, you know, be categorized as the noble guy, why? Just, you know what? Take your money, take your basketball, and go home. The guy, you know, the only thing that, you know, it doesn't make me sad, but I'm disappointed that KD let this guy sucker him into going to New Jersey. I mean, to the
Well,
Nets.
But let's be fair, you know, okay? Who saw this happening? It's a freaking pandemic. Come on. You know, I'm not going to blame KD for that.
Year,
Kyrie had already won a championship with LeBron.
Right. So, like I'm saying, but it was other situations where this guy was just calling out for no reason. And you never knew excuses. Like, this is not the first time this happened.
No, if I were the Nets, I'd be annoyed by that. And thanks for the call. I'd look at it and say, we've done everything we can to support him and help him out. And if there was just one of those breaks he needed from a mental health standpoint, not going to begrudge him that either. It is just an absolute strange situation that at this point, you just have to come to understand what you get when you have Kyrie Irving on your team. You're going to deal with this kind of stuff. See, to me, if you're the Sixers, which would you rather deal with, Kyrie or Ben Simmons? The answer is Kyrie. You absolutely would rather deal with Kyrie. And if you're the Nets, would you rather deal with Kyrie or Ben Simmons? You'd rather deal with Ben Simmons because he's going to play. And I'm not going to have that kind of an issue. And he can come here and hide behind KD and James Harden. That's an easy one. Jaden in California is next on 98.7 ESPN. Jaden, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Colin? Thanks for taking my call. I'm a first-time caller.
You got it, bud.
I have a pretty simple question. What do you think of the Knicks possibly going back-to-back years, exceeding a record of 500 with the new off-season acquisitions of Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier, and re-signing Miles Powell today?
I think the Knicks can be over 500. I don't think that's, you know, that's unfair to ask for. So basically what we're asking for is 42 and 40. That's what you want. That's what you're asking for?
Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Yeah. Thanks for the call. That was simple enough. Yes, I don't think they'll be 10 games over like they were last year, and it would have been a lot closer if that had been a full season as opposed to 72 games, but I do believe that the Knicks can absolutely go over 500 this year. John's in Manhattan next, 98.7 ESPN. Hey, John, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
First of all, I like your idea of Ben Simmons for Kyrie. I think that's a good one. Oh, I'm a first-time caller, too, by the way.
I appreciate you checking in. I mean, if you put Ben Simmons on the Nets, are they winning the title? Probably.
Yeah, I think so. I think they have a really good chance. But, you know, Kyrie's stance, that didn't surprise me because the guy has a history of antediluvian thinking. I mean, this guy was a flat earther for a while until he got so much, you know, crap from others that, you know, that, oh, I never really believed that. And I just want to say something to you and to your other callers who say, oh, we're not researchers. You don't have to be a researcher to know what a miracle vaccinations have been for public health. I mean, I don't know how old you are, but when I was a kid, in the late 50s, early 60s, every kid had measles, mumps, German measles, rubella now. Kids had pertussis and diphtheria. And those things don't exist anymore. Those aren't the plagues that we have. Actually, if you go to the developing world, those diseases are still there. So you don't need to be a researcher. You just need to be alive in the world to know that we're not being plagued by these diseases. And the only reason because of that is vaccination. That's my point.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. You and I agree with each other on that point, okay? And when I'm talking about the people who say they've done their research, I'm talking about the people who have, you know, chosen not to do it as opposed to listening to the scientists who actually do it for a living and people who are trying to make sure that a public pandemic does not become even worse, trying to improve it. I don't know, man. Look, you don't want to do it. Totally your choice. I get it if you're Kyrie. But just understand, there are consequences that come with choices. And I do believe he understands that. You guys got to explain to me what the issue here is with Boone. And I get it. The belief that somehow he is responsible, though, for so many of the Yankee problems is so misguided on so many levels. Look, is he the greatest in-game manager? No, but he's not a bad in-game manager, and the guy takes all of the bullets as he is supposed to do, and he is out front doing everything that the front office wants to do. That's where your primary concern is. So if you're going to sit there and complain because you don't have a guy like Buck Showalter as your manager, you just have to understand that's not happening again. You are not getting a manager who is going to run the show ever again. Frankly, it frustrates the heck out of me too, because I want to see somebody who is more of a, not somebody who's going to control the entire situation, but somebody is more of a field general in a lot of ways. That guy just doesn't exist in the league anymore, in baseball anymore. Understand that. Get past it. Get past it. And this is what really gets me, is you can point to him, but by pointing to him, you're pointing to everybody else, and you are giving Brian Cashman and everybody else in this organization, the players for that matter, an out. You are saying, we will be satisfied by having his blood for this season. And it's pretty clear now. Now, it might be his agents putting it out there when it comes to the Padres. But Aaron Boone, you listen to Buster earlier today. I was filling in for Greeny, and I had him on. And, you know, he feels like he would absolutely have a chance to get another job somewhere else because there are so few jobs that get open. Yes, the Yankee job is still better than the Padres, but the Padres job is not a bad one. Here's Buster earlier today.
I would disagree with you in this. If you're talking about the current rosters, I think, yeah, there's a lot of questions in both, but there is a broad expectation within the industry that the Yankees, after getting their payroll under $210 million this year and resetting, and with a new CBA coming up, there are folks with other teams who think the Yankees are going to be monsters in the free agent market this winter in a way that the Padres may not be. So that has to factor into the equation as well. If you know that there's a chance your shortstop next year is going to be Corey Seager.
First of all, I don't think you should hire. I don't think you should sign Corey Seager. Marcus Semien would be more the way I would go on a shorter term deal. Having said that, the Yankees are going to go out this offseason and spend a lot of money. The Padres already have, and the Padres have gone far enough where they have to take it further. They can't afford to back off. So while they have to deal with the Dodgers and the Giants out west, they still have a chance to compete for a championship out there. They absolutely do. Doesn't matter who the competition is. It's going to be tough. And it could go easier for the Yankees in their division. But is it? I doubt it. Not when you have what the Red Sox just did and what the Blue Jays did in terms of scoring runs, and what we see, what the Rays did all season long, and they're out of it. You know, for me, it's absolutely absurd to suggest Aaron Boone was the problem. The Yankees scored 145 runs fewer than the Rays, and 110 runs fewer than we saw with the Red Sox. So their run differential was a little bit over 500, was a little bit above. It was like plus 40 something. For those other teams, they're like plus, you know, 100 something. I don't know how you can look at a manager when you didn't score within 100 runs of two of the teams in front of you and say it's his fault. That's ridiculous to even suggest it. Ridiculous. I worry about a certain level of arrogance that exists in the front office of the Yankees. Because if you're going to now approach this as doubling down on everything that you think and just assuming that it was a bad year and we'll move on and we'll be back, boy, there are major changes that have to be made. You listen to Michael earlier today, it sounds like they get that. Gary Sanchez cannot be on the team anymore. He is sucking the life out of them. You have to figure out if you can play Gleyber Torres at second, and is he going to get back to being the offensive player that he was in 2019 when he played second? You have to figure out how you're going to shift around that infield and how you're going to get more situationally good players. And let's be clear, I'm not talking about teams that move the runner over and get him in with a sack fly and all that. No, I'm talking about teams that get runs by hitting in the clutch and by delivering when it matters the most. The Yankees, in high and medium leverage situations this year, were in the bottom 10 in baseball. That says everything to me. It says everything. So point to the strikeouts all you want. That's fine. The Rays struck out a ton. They still scored 140 more runs than you did. Our buddy Jarve is down under in Australia. He joins us now on 98.7 ESPN. What's up, Jarve?
G'day, Chris. How are you going?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Yeah, traveling just fine.
What do you got?
Just ringing to talk about the issue with the Yankees and what the real problem is. And I know you're a fan of 80s movies, and so you might know this riddle, but what can you sit on, eat at, and sleep on?
I don't remember now.
That's right. It's a chair, a table, and a bed. Sometimes it's just not one answer. Sometimes there's multiple answers. And they had multiple problems with this team. one, the front office and the choices they've made, two, the coaching and preparing the team to play and giving them the tools they need as a baseball IQ, and three, the players themselves. There's bones to point at all of them.
I'm just at a point right now where if you can't acknowledge what's wrong and acknowledge that there are problems in how you're doing it versus how everybody else is doing it, it's the height of arrogance. And they'll point to this. What really bothers me about the Rays loss, Jarve, is that you could have the Yankees front office point to this and say, see, they won the most games. They're out in round two. It is a complete crapshoot.
The problem with this team, like you said, is the arrogance of it, and it's not willing to move off a bad decision they've made, and a lack of, for a better word, balls to make a tough decision. They've seen this logjam of bat first, poor defensive players coming since the Stanton trade. Because as soon as they made that trade, if they look at their system, they've got Glaber, bat first, no fielding. Andujar, bat first, no fielding. Frazier, bat first. Then they acquired Voit, and they've really seen this right-handed logjam of bat first, can't field. And it was always going to come to a head, and they needed to start moving some of those pieces earlier to give Boone and the coaching staff the tools to win. They just didn't have it this season, and it was all a logjam, and there was just a mishmash to try and find something.
Look, Jarve, I appreciate the call. I understand that they went and tried to fix it in the middle of the season, but it was utterly absurd to suggest that at the beginning of the year, having all right-handed hitters was going to be just fine as long as they were the best hitters. No. It was silly. And you have Joey Gallo now. Who knows if they're going to keep him? They may trade him somewhere else, but, you know, they traded an awful lot of prospects to get him, and it didn't exactly work out in the second half of the year. They got one more year with him, but they could trade him. Single sneeze, not a killer. This is the point. If you're going to now expect to have a different result without major changes in what you're doing, and I'm not talking about Judge or Stanton, I'm talking about a lot of other places, then you're just asking for the exact same results. And that's just that's just insulting to your fans, and it just shows that you have no concept of what you're doing. Some of the tweets rolling in at Chris Carlin in response to the Ben Simmons for Kyrie Irving trade. Here's my headache for your headache. Tim McClatchy checking in first. You were great here in Philly, but please just stop with this nonsense. Sixers would be trading one major headache for another. Yes, it's true, but you are stuck with the major headache that is Ben Simmons for the next 4 years. You know, Kyrie Irving, let me double check. I think he can opt out after this year. Yeah, and even if he didn't, you only have him for two more seasons if he didn't. So he'd be a free agent after 2022-23. You know, you look at Ben Simmons' contract, and if I'm not mistaken, he still has another 4 years on his deal. So, yes, you'd be better. You'd have a chance to win. And if it didn't work out, if he opts out after next season and wants to go somewhere else, or even if he doesn't, you're only stuck with him for one more year. Right now, Simmons is signed through 2024-25. A lot of people from Philly checking. And Bill Kornfeld from Philly. Chris, I think of you as a friend. This is not what one friend says to another. Brad Campbell, I used to love you, man. Been a fan since the other place. Don't do that to my Sixers. Emily Milliron, huge Sixers fan. Chris, I just want peace. Now listen, I get it, guys. I understand. But the point here for me is simply about both these teams trying to straighten out what are current messes within them. And so now, when you have the Nets trying to win a championship in short order, which, to make no mistake, this is the biggest reason why KD has finally come to the realization that the Nets are not wrong when they're trying to do what they're doing. You know, when they decide that we don't want Kyrie to play with us at all this year because it's just going to be a major headache all season long if he wants to only play half the year based on the mandates in New York. He gets that we can't do that and we can't win that way. But if you put Ben Simmons on the Nets right now, it's over. They're winning a championship. And I can't stand Ben Simmons as a player, but all he has to do is do everything that he loves to do. He doesn't have to get better, which is perfect for him. 800-919-3776. And for the Sixers, yes, Kyrie is still a problem, but at the same time, a Kyrie-Joel Embiid pairing with Tobias Harris? Yeah, that could work. That could definitely work. Let's hit Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha, what's up, brother? How are you?
God, Daddy, what's going on?
What do you got?
All right, listen. First of all, with the Kyrie and versus the Nets, I mean, I respect both sides, to be quite honest with you. It's amazing in this country how we tell people what they need to do with their bodies, usually as women, but now we're doing it with this vaccine stuff. I mean, listen. And I'm vaccinated. I mean, I don't mind you telling somebody they have to wear a mask, but the man doesn't want to get vaccinated, and that's his stance or whatever his social issue that he's standing for. If he's willing to stick to it and, you know, take that money, I ain't got nothing but respect for him. But if I'm the Nets, we got a chance to win a championship here. We can't be playing around with you not knowing whether you're going to play or not. So, you know, it's a movable object versus a movable force, you know, whatever. Either way, I'm not upset with either one of them. But, you know, as a Sixers fan, you know, Cat Daddy, man, what you doing is horrible tonight. I mean, you know, I love you. You know I love you. You know I love you. But, like, what you doing is horrible tonight, man.
Let me just ask you this question. How are you resolving the Simmons situation?
I'll be honest with you. To that, I would say TBD, you know. I don't know why they didn't make the C.J. McCollum trade. You know, the Sixers have a warped view of what Ben Simmons is, and that's what the problem really is in terms of the trade. And they, you know, similar to like the Nets, they waited too long to make the trade. But in terms of the trade for Ben Simmons, I mean, there's three obvious reasons that the Sixers will never make this trade. The first reason is Doc Rivers, the man wants to keep his job. He's not bringing in another guy that he's got. If he had a problem dealing with Ben Simmons, what do you think he's going to have with Kyrie Irving? I mean,
yeah,
come on.
I know.
There's no way. There's no way you could do that. But
my only point here is this, okay?
Yes.
In a best case scenario, let's play out three scenarios here. Number one, best case scenario, Kyrie comes here and the triumvirate works, and you're challenging the Nets for a shot to go play for a title. Number two, it doesn't really work, and it is a bit of a headache, but Kyrie opts out after the year. Number three, he doesn't opt out. It's not working, and you have to deal with it for 2 years, but chances are he's still playing, and he's still playing at a high level. None of those options, as much as the distractions will drive you insane, You know as well as I do that the Simmons situation cannot work. Cannot.
No, it can't work. It can't work. But what I'm saying is just bringing up an outcome that's impossible to obtain. Because, listen,
why?
Whether they could get rid of him, whether his salary comes off the books or whatever next year, you still can't do it. Because if he's only going to be available for half of the year, the Sixers are not going to contend with anybody. The locker room is already shaky. You can't even have that going on. But there's the other elephant in the room that always comes up with this dude. He's hurt all the time. Give me a year where he played a full season. They can't do something like that. Whether or not his salary comes off next year or not, you could bring him in there, which they're not going to do. I'm telling you they're not going to do it. But you bring him in there and his presence for 1 year can cause unrepairable damage. It really can. Doc Rivers has to be very careful out there. The Philly fans, they're not pleased with the performance of this team in that playoff series.
And there was one thing I keep bringing this back up. There was a game. I don't know what game was. I think it was game three. Tobias Harris was having an absolutely abysmal game. Doc Rivers is talking to him, you know, in the break. And you see, like, Tobias Harris is not even trying to hear what he's saying. Dude, you're not even that good of a player to be dismissing a coach who has a ring. So if you bring a guy like Kyrie Irving, not a bad person, social issues, he kind of wants to do the right thing, but doing the right thing is his right thing. This is a team sport. You can't bring him in there.
I ask the question. How are you solving the Simmons problem?
I don't know, but it's not with Kyrie Irving.
Okay, my point is, Buddha, and thanks for the call. It is potentially with Irving when you're not going to have to deal with him for nearly as long as you're going to have to deal with Simmons. That's what I'm saying. And yes, he does get hurt. That's a problem. And if Philadelphia, the city, has a mandate enacted, well, I mean, that's obviously something that could happen and you'd be dealing with it. But there is not a scenario in which the Sixers actually make this work. It's not going to work with Embiid, no matter what he says. It's not going to work with that city, who was at a wrestling event the other night at Wells Fargo Center chanting blank Ben Simmons. This is not getting fixed.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.